Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am excited. We are going to get into a new sport today. We're going to talk a little softball with a fantastic collegiate softball player, Ms. Tyra Markham. So we are excited to have her here. How are you doing today, Tyra?
I am good.
Yeah, so it's good to have you. So we're like 30 episodes in, and I can't believe it. You're our first softball guest, so I'm glad we tracked you down. And for all our folks at home, it's crazy. When I was asking for some softball people, I had like 8 different people all say, I need to talk to you. So you're making a big impact on the youth in this area. So tell me a little bit about where you're playing right now and kind of what you're doing in school.
Okay, so I am a junior at Trine University in Angola. I am studying psychology, and I am a first baseman now.
So what were you before?
So in high school, I played a little bit of everywhere. I was kind of just thrown around. I was a third baseman, an outfielder, and I pitched some. So like in college, when they put me at first, I was like, okay, this is new. But I've done it for now these past 2 years, going on my third.
All right, you figured it out. Well, I think that's probably not too uncommon. Whenever I talk to like baseball players, whatever position they play in college, I'm like, "What'd you do when you're in little league?" Like, I pitched and played short.
Yeah.
Right. I think for softball, it doesn't mean I pitched. I played first. I played third.
Yeah.
Right. All the same spots here. So junior year. So season is just under
now.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
our
was,
first
what,
game is first home game Saturday.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you guys are. I know college baseball has been rocking and rolling for a couple weeks. We're recording this like mid-March. It'll probably drop like first week of April.
Yeah,
but so mid-March.
We played in Florida and Georgia here at the end of February, early March. But now our first home game is Saturday.
All right. So how's the season going so far?
Good. We are 11-1.
Ooh.
And it's good. Like the team is getting along very well. And like just our dynamic with each other is very good, which is a great start at the beginning of the year because – a lot happens and it's a long season. So if you don't have that chemistry, it's kind of hard to make it through.
No, no kidding, man. And I mean, you're preaching to the right audience here. I'm a huge believer in just a culture. Like, obviously, we've got to have talent. We've got to have skill. We've got to have good players. We've got to have solid coaching. But culture is that missing ingredient.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have all the talent when it just doesn't click. So 11-1 is a heck of a start here. So so how is that culture evolving, right? I mean, because you guys have only been playing together for a couple weeks, and obviously you've got some new people joining. You had some folks graduate. So how does that happen?
We're very like senior led with upperclassmen. I want to say we have 6 seniors maybe this year.
Okay.
So then we have 6 there. Then we have our 3 juniors. So, and our field really stayed most of all the same, but with that leadership just honestly comes like, hey, this is what's expected. Like jump on the train or it's going to fall apart. And I feel like it also comes with us being a spring sport, we spend a lot of time together in like the fall and in through the winter months because we're still doing our workouts and we're still working through everything. And like, even if we're not, we're all hanging out together. And like, even when it comes to classes, some of us will have class together. So like, we always just see each other around. So I feel like it's just kind of instilled day one. And then everybody just kind of keeps working towards it. And we have a good connection to the point of, hey, we can tell each other, hey, you're slacking off a bit. Like, come on.
That's a nice place to get to. And I think we've had so many coaches and athletic directors on, and we always talk about the best teams are player led as much as coach led, where, I mean, as coaches, we can tell you until we're blue in the face, but when your best players give the best effort, man, oh man, that is pretty powerful. And it becomes almost like taking good care of a garden. These seniors are planting that seed in your freshmen, in your sophomores, who become your next wave of leaders. So you're kind of in that in-between stage. So as a junior, you're in your third year. So a little more leadership falling your way, but then next year, you are the senior in charge. So how has your role changed from over the years? You know, you come in as a wide-eyed freshman. Now you're, you know, a three-year vet.
I feel like now I've developed a lot more of my voice and I'm a lot more comfortable. And I feel like overall, like the game's completely different. So like now I'm okay, I know what to expect kind of going in, but coming in as a freshman compared to high school ball, the tempo is completely different. What's expected is completely different. So now just as like a junior, I'm here. I'm like, okay, like I gotta have the voice. I have to help. Like I can't just sit back and watch.
So I find that interesting. So our audience, I always say, is twofold, right? We've got a lot of parents and coaches who are raising young athletes, especially on the podcast side. When we get into some of the video content and some of like the YouTube, Instagram side, that's where we have a lot of our younger audience. And those are people who are tuning in right now because literally they want to be you. No pressure, right? But you know, they're 8th grade, they're 9th grade, and they want to be collegiate athletes in softball. So when you said the tempo is different, I'm a basketball guy. It's obvious the tempo is different. The game is just faster. It's bigger. It's faster. It's more physical. So aside from obviously velocity from like a batting standpoint, what else is different when you talk about the tempo of college? Are you talking practice or the game itself or both?
Everything, like both, I feel. Because in the game, like obviously, you're going to have to develop your bat speed to be faster. Your throwing velocity is going to get quicker. The pitch speed coming at you is going to be different. But on top of that, just the spin rate some of the pitchers have now compared to in high school, most of the time, all you would see is a fastball changeup. Sometimes you would see a rise ball, drop ball, but it's not as big of a movement as you would see now. And even just you have all the specialties that you dive into in college, then too. Like in high school, you could play everywhere and then also be a pitcher, then get to college and be like, I'm just gonna pitch. I'm gonna be a PO where
Really
you can
hard to
just
do both,
work
yeah.
directly, exactly, where you can work directly on your craft. Or like knowing your role in college softball is huge. Like your 1-2 hole hitters aren't gonna be the same hitters that your 3-4-5 hole hitters are. And let's, you're in the dugout, you're not playing, but at any moment, your number could be called to go be a pinch runner because you're quicker than whoever we have on right now. So I feel like the biggest thing, along with tempo, is just learning what your role is and truly just embracing it. Like, who cares where you're at? Everybody has a purpose there. You're here for a reason. Just go embrace it and do it,
That's
especially
awesome.
in college. Like, you're here for a reason as a freshman, even. Like, that's a
Yeah.
big thing I feel like we've talked to our freshmen about is you're here for a reason. Nerves are understandable. Don't be scared, though. You were recruited and you were brought onto the team for a reason. Just go out there and be yourself.
See, it's great advice, easier said than done. Right? It's
100%.
easy to play your
100%.
role when you are not to pry. Are you starting this year?
Yeah, I started last year and this year.
Okay. So not to put you on the spot, but it's easier to accept my role when I am the
Exactly.
starting first baseman. It's trickier, perhaps as a freshman or even as an upperclassman, when that role may not be as prominent because look, let's face it, if you're playing
Exactly.
on your team, you were her in high school. Right, you don't get to
Exactly.
your level, you know, batting 170, hitting eighth, and making 20 errors. Right, you were a star. So, freshman year, I take it you were not starting. How did you adapt to that? And were there some moments where you had some self-doubt and it crept in a little bit?
So I was kind of my freshman year, I was kind of just thrown in the fire. Like, hey, you're going to be batting third. You're going to go do all this. I was like, oh, okay. So those first few games were definitely like a step back. I didn't do too great, whatever. Then there was just one game, I remember it, and I had three teammates come around me before I went up to bat, and they were like, hey, like, chill out. You're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be doing this. Stop trying to do too much. And I feel like that's still the case with our freshmen now, is our upperclassmen leadership, everybody just kind of surrounds each other. And especially in the field right now, when you're like new at a position or you're not doing well, like immediately your teammates are right there to pick you up and talk to you. It's not like a letdown moment of, oh, handle it yourself. There's always somebody there to talk to you and pick you back up and just get you back on the right train of thought.
I love it. When we talk about playing your role, like obviously I'm coaching at a much younger level, but our team motto is we lift each other up. Both literally, someone hits the ground, I expect four people, boom, pick them up immediately. And figuratively, where we are constantly lifting each other up with our words, with our actions. Sometimes it's from a secular perspective, sometimes it's with a prayer or word of encouragement. And it's not always easy if that is your more prominent role and you're used to your role being more statistically viable, but that's a
Yeah.
really, really important role. And we have games when our bench may not get as many minutes, but they're so engaged. And I am dead convinced that makes a big difference. But it's normal to kind of pout and sulk. And when I'm
Yes.
not getting my time, maybe
Yes.
my attitude slips a little as well.
We've always talked about in our team too. Our coach has always preached us, you get 10 seconds. Like, let's say you strike out, you come to the dugout, you get 10 seconds to be your time. Deal with it however you want, but don't expect your teammates to not come up to you and try to pick you up or motivate you. And I feel like that's especially a thing with like this year with the freshmen, it's hard to know how to pick them up and what they react to or respond to well. But like as we've grown, I feel like even like our senior class now knows how to come to me and talk to me more to get a better response and like, okay, I'm fine, rather than me being like, thanks, and then just moving on with no reaction at all. So I feel like it's definitely a thing with growing and knowing your team is you learn how to pick each other up.
See, that's that psychology background and some of that emotional intelligence,
Yeah.
right? We don't treat everyone the same. We treat everybody with the same respect and the same rules, perhaps, but we're all different people. And the more we
Yeah.
kind of learn our teammates and as coaches, we learn our players. So let's just not that this would ever happen. We're just gonna be hypothetical here, but Tyra's at the plate. There's runners at second and third. It's a one-run game, late innings, and you take a questionable called third strike on the edge of the plate. You're going back to the dugout. What do your 10 seconds look like?
I'm typically talking to myself. I tend to talk to myself a lot. Like even before I step in to hit, I talk to my bat, then I get in the box. It's just kind of like my refocus moment. Because when I'm talking to myself and I'm talking, I'm not letting it get into my head. Because at the end of the day, late innings, not last inning. Because we're going to come back in the dugout and I trust the girls behind me are going to go do their job and we're going to figure out a way to make it happen. So I feel like my 10 seconds most of the time are me talking to myself. I'll go in the dugout. And I'll put myself up because most of the time if that happens, I gotta run and get my butt back out on the field. So I'm just like, okay, my 10 seconds are I get to have a little bit of a fit while I run back out there, but then we're good.
Clear the cache and on we go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say it's not the third out. It's just a moment where you don't live up to your expectation. And look, this is a sport of failure more than any
Yes.
others. I mean, really all sports are. We have that discussion with our girls. I missed three shots. I'm like, yeah, Steph Curry shoots 52% from the
Yeah.
floor. Relax, right? Like baseball, you're going to have a negative result more than half the time if you're
Yeah.
incredible, right? So as you're processing some of these moments, you're not happy with yourself. If I'm your teammate, I've given you your 10 seconds. I have a lot of athletes who have very different perspectives here. What do you want to hear from your teammates?
Sometimes with me, it's not even an I want to hear, it's a tap on the back or a hey, next time. Or like a lot of the time, like not third out, me coming out, I'm talking to my next girl who's going up to the plate. Or like a lot of the time, okay, hey, who cares? Saw that pitch, you got it next time. Like just small things. Sometimes it's not even words. It can just be like a pat on the back or a hey, next time, just helping sort of situation.
Yeah, and there's a ton of psychology. There's some empirical research behind the power of just positive touch.
Yeah.
A pat on the back, a fist bump, high five, whatever your team's culture is, a quick word of it doesn't have to be a feisty locker room speech. It's just like, you
Yeah.
got this. You
Yeah.
got this. You got a kid. You got a girl. Let's go.
Yeah.
And that little stuff, man, it telling you it adds up. It adds up. And like my athletes and coaches get it. That I don't know that everyone quite understands how powerful it
Yeah.
is, but it sounds like your team's got a pretty good handle on it. So for this season, so 11-1, great start. Obviously, I'm assuming it's all non-con if you guys are down in the South
Yeah,
here.
it's not conference
And for the
yet.
folks at home, Angola, that would be a part of Indiana, not the country. maybe some point we get that reached. So Angola is the smaller town just north of Fort Wayne. It is not softball weather today. We are snowing.
No, not at all.
So what you guys get so who do you guys play like conference wise? Like what's the outlook
We
this year?
have Adrian, Calvin, St. Mary's, Alma. Goodness, I'm blanking. I
Like
feel there's
a lot
one
of
more.
Michigan, Northern
Yeah, we're in
Indiana,
the
like St. Mary's is in
MIAA,
Winston.
which is Michigan Intercollegiate Athletic Association. So I want to say that all of the schools in conference are in Michigan other than St. Mary's.
Yeah,
I
that's
want to
like South
say.
Bend area, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So best case scenario, what's the outlook for this season? Like what's the goal? Where's the
A
team looking to
repeat of
land?
next year, of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to go back to the Natty, and I feel like this team 100% has the talent to do so.
Love
It
it.
just comes down to keeping our focus right in front of, like, who's the next game? Not, okay, 10 games down the road, who are we playing?
Yeah. And that's tough when you've had a lot of success. I was trying to give you a moment to
Yes.
brag. So last season ended how?
We won the Natty.
Let's go. All
Yeah.
right, let's go, man. So that's a pretty fantastic accomplishment. So it's interesting because we talk a lot about, and there's tons of like biblical scripture of how do we deal with failure? How do we be resilient? And what I've become so fascinated with and have started speaking on it for like my team and even like audiences is dealing with failure is not as hard as we think because we've got a lot of experience and you basically have two choices, curl up and die or figure it out. Dealing with success is a whole lot harder because of the natural tendency for complacency to settle in, for everything to feel a little more stale. There's something so exciting about pursuing uncharted territory. There's a natural tension when it's protecting something and trying not to lose it versus pursuing something. So, is that something that your coaches have spoken to you about? Is that something that you as team leaders talk about? How do we stay
Complacency.
focused and hungry?
Yeah, complacency is a big thing that's like, hey, don't be complacent, because the second you're complacent is the second somebody's gonna come and just beat you into the ground. And I feel like a lot with us, I want to say it was probably, I don't know, remember if it was last year, my freshman year. We got beat, and I feel like after that, we came back and we were just like, it was a realization thing of, hey, like, get it together. Come on. We still have to improve each day to get to where we want to go. We
Yeah.
can't just look at a team and be like, oh, they're 4-5. We're going to just go beat them. Like,
Sure.
you never know who's going to come out that day or how the situation's going to go. Because at the end of the day, this is like part of my pregame prayer is like, just let me go fulfill, like, what story and plan you have wrote out for this game for me. Because I can't change what's already wrote out for me. I just have to go do it and find a way to glorify God through doing it.
Sure.
So by doing that, that helps me ease my mind and be like, okay, I just have to go out there and be the best version of Tyra I can be. I
Love it.
can't try to do too much or do less than.
Sure. No, I love it, man. We might have to get you back and steal your pregame prayer. So I'm working on a series, and it kind of hit me a couple weeks ago where I realized some of the best pregame talks we ever have are Master's prayers, and it gave me such a cool liberty to say the things to my team that I wanted to. It was so like almost more emotional, and but we were able to get some of those pregame highlights through the lens of scripture, love, faith, togetherness. So I think that's cool that you have that pregame moment. Are you just I'll pry. Are you praying with teammates? Do you guys pray as a team? Because
So,
I know a lot of our guests are, let me like back up. A lot of our guests are like Crossroad League schools where it is explicitly religious. Trine would not be
no.
explicitly
So,
religious school.
how ours go is there's like 5 or 6 of us. We kneel on the foul line, whichever side we're on. And if you want to join in prayer that day, you can come join. Like, nobody's telling you, no, you can't come.
Awesome.
And typically, one of my teammates will pray out loud for everybody. But I like to be on the other end of her, on the very end, and I like to just do my own prayer in my head, because, like, even though we're teammates, we never know what everybody's going through, and everybody needs something else in a different way to, like, let themselves not stress in that moment. So I
Yeah.
like to just have my own time and just do it myself while still being with my team in that moment.
I love it. I think it's just a cool reminder where, we have guests from all walks of life. I have some episodes where we talk a lot about faith. We have some where maybe it doesn't come up at all. And then I've had a few folks that are overtly preaching and hey man, you got license to do that too. We don't hide from it. It's called playing faith. There's a cross in the logo. Like,
Yeah.
we're pretty clearly Christian in our mission, but sports is, the prominent focus. And it's just interesting when we start getting into like public schools where a lot of my coaches are coaching, or even me, like where there are some different parameters, but I'm seeing it become so much more accepted, so much more open, where we're seeing like a lot of prayer on the field And I just think it's cool, man. Something sweeping through the country right now.
I would say in high school, my softball and basketball team, we always prayed before every game as a team. And like the only
Ours
thing
too.
our coaches would be in on, like basketball especially, our
Yeah.
coach would be in on it. All of them would be there with us, but they never said the prayer because they didn't want to step on toes. It was always
I know.
player led with the prayer, but coaches were there with us.
Yeah, that was same as ours, and I never even brought it up, but my kids, wanted to, and they said would it be okay, and I was like, of course, and they're bold, man. They do not want to do it in the locker room. They want it to be on the floor. I asked them why. They said they want everyone to see us. Generally they lead it. There was like one or two, like a really big game. They're like, Coach, will you? And I was like, I think that we've established that
Yeah,
we're all okay with this, parental
exactly.
and students. But it is that interesting line that we walk, when we are in a more of a public school. And I think it's just a cool example to lead with our faith,
Yeah.
where I firmly believe that is what draws people in. Like someone knocking on my door, asking me where my mortal soul is going if I die is not going to be what lands for me. What really brought me home and solidified my faith was just watching people that I admired and respected, the way they carried themselves, the peace, the joy. And I think you guys are doing an awesome job of that. It's just really cool to see. So there's your compliment for the day. All right. All right, so you mentioned in high school you played more than one sport. So tell me a little bit about your high school career. I know you played some basketball. For the folks at home, you are not a short gal. You are not a point guard. You are 6'1".
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sure the day you said you're playing softball, your basketball coach was heartbroken. Not a lot of 6'1" posts running around here in Northern Indiana.
Yeah.
So what all did you play in high school?
So I played basketball, softball, and then my junior, senior year, I played unified flag football.
Get out of here. How the volleyball coach not get a hold of you? They had to ask, right?
I played volleyball in middle school, and then getting to high school, I was like, I want to play two sports like that. I want that to be my focus. I don't want my whole year to be chaos because, especially doing travel ball once I got to high school, that went into the school year. So it was like, two sports is for me. Volleyball was fun and all, but my heart wasn't in it. I was just there for fun.
I get it. So, how long did you play basketball all the way through your senior year, or just for a
Yeah,
couple
I
years
did.
early? Oh, did you? Okay, so you're able to do both. That's awesome. Because I do find that that is of interest to a lot of parents, where you're not that far removed from this. So you grew up in the era of the industrial sports complex, the year-round travel, the
Yeah.
intense focus on recruiting from what I would sometimes contend is an unhealthily young age. And it's I already with like my fifth and eighth grade daughters, there is some pressure to start picking or to slot rank them. Like this is my main sport and I'm going to do travel for that. This sport, luckily, I'm blessedly good enough to still play in high school. So at what point did you start kind of sifting it down to like, look, softball is probably what I want to do beyond high school, and that's where I'm going to put a little more time in?
I think I knew from the beginning because I played softball a little bit longer. But once I got to high school and I was playing basketball my sophomore year, it's like, okay, maybe I want to play this too. But then like got to my junior year and I was like, basketball, love it. It's so much fun. I love the girls I'm around. But it was more of my physical competitive sport compared to where softball is very mentally competitive. So it was just kind of a stay in shape, have fun, do this, but softball is what I love and what I want to keep doing. So that's kind of where it came down to there.
So with travel, I know softball has a very intensely travel sport where most college recruiters would tell me, yeah, we want them to play high school ball, but they're really finding you more from your club or your travel or the, I believe you guys use the term travel. A lot of other sports would call it club. What point did you get real serious with the travel? Were you doing that like in fifth, sixth grade or?
I never got insanely big into travel
Really?
at
That's
all.
amazing.
I played high school, so I played for Goshen.
That's great.
So
I
I
feel
did
like travel
like,
softball starts when you're like four.
yeah,
How did you
which
dodge that as
is
good as
that's
you are? That's
chaos
crazy.
to me. I'm like, that's
It's.
very burnout driven. As soon as you start that year-long travel with 8U, 12U, 10U, I'm like those kids are going to get up to high school level and be like, this sport's more of a chore than it is fun. I especially think in youth, it needs to stay fun. They need to want to go to practice and just have fun with it. That's why, like, Little League is amazing because you're there for the summer, you have fun with it, and then you go home. Go play more than one sport. It's not going to hurt anything,
Sure.
especially because you can't get recruited by anybody until your sophomore, junior year of high school.
I
So
know
it's
it's
like,
It's hard to explain that to the parents. I've been at tournaments
Yeah.
like 10U, and it's like parents are losing their mind and screaming at officials and screaming at their kid. And I'm like, man, there's like UConn's not here today, man. Like Purdue's not sitting this
Yeah.
one out. Like they're in fifth grade. Just chill, man.
Yeah.
But it is like becoming it is almost like a peer pressure from the parent side of the table, though. As much as we know, like I meet people like you, and we've had, you know, like Miss Basketball candidates on, we've had elite national level swimmers on, and almost all of them have said, look, we didn't start doing this until like eighth grade
No,
or
I
ninth
started
grade.
real travel. My freshman, sophomore year of high school is when I actually started playing like travel for a team that was not Goshen. And
Right,
even
right.
then, the team wasn't like a team that would go play in the tournaments in Colorado and everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a girl coming on too. I mean, it's like a elite level volleyball player, and she did start in like third grade and was traveling all over the state, all over the country. But it was what she wanted.
Yes.
Family loved it. It fit their family's dynamic. And I find that we wrestle with that some too. For my younger one, she loves it. I mean, there's nothing she would rather do than be in a hotel this weekend playing basketball with 10 of the other best girls in Northern Indiana. Like they love it, love it, love it. My other daughter is, we waited a little bit longer. Wasn't the one beating the drum for it. Now that she's
Yeah.
getting ready to make that jump from eighth grade to varsity, you know, we're playing a little more. But I just think it's a good reminder for everyone at home. We feel that pressure from the parent side. If I don't do this, if I do not spend these $5,000 and give up every waking second of my life, then my kid is going to get left behind. And I'm meeting so many people like you who just prove that that is not the case.
If you want to play in college, there is a place for you somewhere. And it's as easy as sending out an email. Like video for games is so common now. You can find videos of yourself, send it to coach, introduce yourself, be like, hey, this is who I am. Find the camps, go to those. Like you don't have to go to the big travel programs that are going to cost you 5 grand a summer and
Sure.
go play just to get recruited by the big schools. There's
Yeah,
always a place for everybody with all the different levels there are and everything. There's somewhere for everybody.
assuming you also have the requisite talent and academic performance,
Yes.
which you did as well. So tell me a little bit about how you made that transition from, you know, you said you've always known you wanted to play softball, but I imagine there's a moment, freshman, sophomore, maybe even junior year, where it's like, okay, I'm good at this. I want to do this at the next level. I can't just work out and show up to practice for a few days. I'm going to have to do things a little different and a little more. So, what does a training workout look like for you as you started getting a little bit more serious about wanting to do this beyond high school?
So it started in high school, like young high school, my freshman year, because that was no, sophomore year was COVID. Sophomore or freshman year, whichever one was COVID, because me and all my siblings were at the house and my dad would just have us run and work, run around the yard, run 4 laps around our yard, you got a mile in, and then work out in the garage, like
Yeah.
lift weights, because I think that even just lifting weights where it's high reps, low weight, so you're not stressing your body out as you're still growing is great because you're putting on that muscle mass without stressing your joints and everything that's going along with it.
Good advice.
So that started. And then in high school, my softball coach, we had a great relationship. My basketball coach had a great relationship with him. I was able to get into the high school at about 6 a.m. every day before school with my brother and my sister. And Kaylin would go down and shoot because she loved basketball. And me and Carter were upstairs. Carter would either catch for me while I was pitching, if I was pitching that day of the week, or we would both hit off a tee together, or we'd go to front toss. It was just always, we were always doing something.
How many days a
And I feel
week?
like I typically would go at least, I want to say I went and I hit and pitched at least 4 days a week, or it might have been, yeah. Around there, but then we would always have FCA on Thursdays that me and
That's
all of
awesome.
my siblings went to too.
And you're talking like from the time you're like a freshman, sophomore in high school,
Yeah.
you're doing this like 3 or 4 days a week. So I think that's useful because I'll have kids all the time are like, I go to every practice. I'm like, yeah, every kid in America who plays a sport goes to practice. That is like the
Yeah.
bare minimum expectation requirement. So if we want to do things that others can't do, we're going to have to be willing to put in effort that others aren't willing to put in.
Yeah.
Obviously, God gives talent in different proportions, but we are charged to make the most of it. And it sounds like you absolutely did.
Yeah.
These things, Well, you know, when you say like if you want to play, there's something for everyone. There is, but you're also working out 4 days a week for 3 years.
Yeah,
So you know what I mean? Like
exactly.
you went and got it. It didn't just
That's
fall
a
into your
big thing
lap,
too.
right?
As you're
Yeah.
getting recruited, like show what your work ethic is. Show that, hey, these are some of the workouts I've been doing. Like
Yeah.
they don't just recruit you as an athlete. They want to see what your work ethic is going to be like. They want to see your academic side. They want to see what your family life may be like. They want to actually get to know you as a person too, as they're recruiting. Because I want to say one of the schools I was recruited by, they reached back out to me because, like, after I sent an email about a unified football game, like flag football game I was doing, just because they were like, oh, that showed some character. So, like, they look at more than just you as an athlete. You as an athlete's a big part, but they want to see more than just that.
Yeah, I think character is so underrated. And every time I have a coach on, or an athletic director, or a recruiter, they will tell me that they are looking at how does the athlete behave when things aren't going well? How are mom and dad behaving in the bleachers? What is some of their social media activity and the character they're displaying? One of my favorite stories, I cannot remember who the athlete is, but I was reading the stories about one of the it's like a top high school baseball player in the country, and he's at one of these huge showcases, and he's just dropping bombs, just hitting nukes all over the place, gets homer in like twice a night, just dominating the whole tournament. But yet the final offers hadn't come through. SEC schools were looking, but no one had made the official offer, and the kid's like hitting like 600 with home runs. Finally has a day, completely overwhelmed, strikes out all four times. But after each one, ran to the dugout, put his bat back, sprinted out on the field, stayed engaged. And that day, school came up, his dream school came up and offered him. And the kid basically asked them, like, what are you talking about? I've been, why today? And they said, oh, we already know you can hit as well as anyone in the country. But we also know there's going to be some bad days too. How do you handle those? We'd love for you to be
Yeah.
part of our program, son. And people are watching, and it's not stats. It's not stats. It's character, right? So
Yeah.
it's always good to keep in mind that it's a lot more than just what we do on the field. So I got as we kind of wind down, I always try to shoot for a half hour, but I find all my guests so fascinating, I end up going way too long. So I just find it interesting how many people said, you need to talk to Tyra. So obviously you are really involved with, I know you have some younger siblings, you're involved in some youth sports. So how do all these people know you, and what are you doing like to give back in all these youth sports arenas? Because you seem so involved in your local community with softball.
So Kaylin is a year younger than me. I kind of was around like my freshman year of high school. I kind of came around with basketball a little bit, not much, like last year too, a little bit, not much. I was always kind of just here if I was wanted to be there, if they wanted to help with something, I was there. And then Carter, my brother, he's played with the same group since he was younger. So I got to know younger siblings through that too. Then Taryn, she's kind of how I created most of the connections because she plays with Tatum.
Yeah,
So
it's one
like
of my
that
all-time
lets
favorite
me,
kids.
yes, I know that whole team. And like I've helped the past 2, 3 years, I've been with that team in the summer and I've went and I've helped them coach. I've helped them at practices. Over the summer, I'll give hitting, like pitching lessons, just whatever people in the community would want. Like if you want help, I'm more than willing to give it and we can figure something out. It's just kind of been small things here and there that I've helped with. And then in high school, we always had like the baseball, not baseball, softball, basketball, youth camps. So I
Sure.
got to know girls through that. So it's just kind of, I've been around a lot because all of my younger siblings, and then I just kind of, hey, I play softball. If you want help, I'll help.
Well, I think it's fantastic, and it's part of the mission at Play in Faith, where we're, working on building like a mentor network, where we are, taking college Christian athletes and partnering up with middle school and high school kids. And I've just been blown away as we kind of explored this mission. Just the level of impact that someone like you makes on a young athlete, where I think a lot of times even high school varsity athletes take it for granted. It's just something they do, and they don't realize how massive they are in the eyes of those kids that are 3, 4, 5 years younger. It's not a big gap when we become adults, but I mean, just the pedestal and the impact that you all have. So I just think it's really cool that you're
You
out
just
there giving
never know
back.
who's watching. Like, you never
Right?
know who's at the game watching you in the stands. Like, you always think, oh, there could be somebody here recruiting, but you don't ever like see that little kid who's at every game watching you going crazy for everything happening, no matter what it is happening. So
Oh
I
yeah,
feel like
you
that's
guys mean a ton to
amazing
them.
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they completely look up to you, and I think it's cool that you're using that platform and that influence. So if somebody wanted to get connected with you for lessons, how can they find you? I assume Instagram,
I
Facebook.
have
How do you...
Instagram and Facebook. Those are kind of the main two. I
All
mean,
right.
that's really about it.
Perfect. We'll have people come track you down for some lessons this summer. So our parting bit of advice. So as you kind of come towards the back half of your like collegiate career, you've had like a successful career. So for that girl out there that's 13, 14 years old who says, you know what, this is the path that I want to follow, what advice would you have for that eighth, ninth grade girl who wants to be playing softball at a higher level?
The game ultimately does not define who you are. Because I feel like a lot of people anymore will let how their performance, it goes into character again. How they perform that day is how they're going to interact with everybody else they come about. Like, you had a bad game. Oh, you're not going to be a great teammate then. Like, at the end of the day, the game doesn't define you. Who you are as a person means more than just who you are as an athlete. And if you work hard and you're just doing what you can do, you will be noticed and somebody will find you. And there are resources out there to help you. Like, that's just kind of at the end of the day, it turns into again trusting what your plan, like what plan is in store for you and what story is wrote out for you, is just having trust in that and just confidence in that. Like, I have a tattoo on my arm that's ATIHACIM, all trust in him, all confidence in me. So, like, I
Awesome.
have to trust that plan, but I also have to have confidence in myself and my training that I have put in into the game that, hey, I'm ready for this moment and I can just go be me, and that's plenty enough.
I love it. I think that's great advice for kids out there that look, work hard, make the most of your talent, give it everything you have. But at the end of the day, our sport is what we do. It's not who we are. It's
Yes.
whose we are that really matters. And just thank you for shining a light on that. So Tyra, it's been fantastic talking with you. I hope you guys have an amazing season. We're going to be praying for you and the girls at Trine. Hopefully you get that back-to-back natty. We're going to be cheering for you. But thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us. And just we'll be praying for you in everything that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome job. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.